The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, world. This is Trish Adora, your Pan-African World Diaspora Champion, and you are listening to John Orlando on the PVDcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVDcast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 392. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVDcast. Well, last weekend was the WWE annual event called SummerSlam, and last week the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, they sat down with me in the studio and we gave our preview of that event, talking about what we thought might happen in terms of who are the winners, who are the losers, what surprises might go down, etc., etc. And now it's time for us to revisit those predictions. So this is going to be the review episode where we look at every single match and we kind of analyze them. And then we also will give our 2 cents worth on what we think might happen in the upcoming weeks in Vince McMahon land, if you will. So sit back, settle into your favorite chair. We're going to get to that conversation in just one moment, but I want to thank, of course, my great sponsor of the PVDcast, World's Greatest Comics. And look, I know that DJ Joey Blaze always helps me out with those copies. In fact, he's going to do it on this episode. But it's true what he says. He does frequently stop by World's Greatest Comics, and he loves their action figure assortment that they have down there. They have tons of toys. They have collectibles. They have single issues, graphic novels. They got tons of back issues. I'm telling you, if you are missing some key issues, I bet you Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest have it, whether it's in those back issue long boxes or maybe it's one of the prestige books that are up on the wall. That's right. They have some high-end stuff that you need to check out. And it's very simple to do so. If you're in the area, all you got to do is stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. So check them out at WG Comics. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly break down and analyze SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined once again by the pro wrestling pundits. Ringside Rand, how are you?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Life is good.
DJ Joey Blaze, how are things with you?
Well, I want to extend condolences to the loss of your Uncle Mo. I know he's on the Lester side of the family, but
yes,
condolences anyways. To Uncle Mo.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
The writers of Secession are going to come after us because they have nothing else to do right now.
I don't think that's an original.
Okay, no, I was going to say they're going to be sending cease and desist letters. Anyways,
that's a tongue twister.
Cease and desist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know. Anywho, we're here to recap SummerSlam and talk about some of the new storylines that were presented last night on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
And basically, folks, if you've never listened before, what we're going to do is we're going to give our thoughts about each match. We're going to see if our predictions were right from last week, and we will also rate the match based on a body slam system. One body slam for the Drizzling Shits, 5 body slams for an amazing matchup that would be 5-star if we were somebody else. If we were Uncle Dave. Dave Meltzer, not Dave Lester. Anyways, Let's start off with the overall pay-per-view. Joey, what'd you think about the overall SummerSlam event?
Well, I don't think it was over the top. All good. But I don't think it was bad either. I think it was kind of a middle-of-the-road pay-per-view. I know we expect more being a SummerSlam. I expected more from a couple. I got more than what I thought I would get from some matches. So I was coming in right below four body slams. I'd almost be like at 3.75.
Okay.
I went a little bit higher. I think overall it's a four. Not a big variance, but I liked it a lot.
I'm with you, Rand. I gave it a four overall as well. I feel like the matches, as you said, Joey, some of them surprised us. Some of those did not surprise us. We'll talk more about those. But one thing I'd like to point out real quick is that a lot of people, many people were overly critical about the times for the matches. And we talked about it in our own little chat group as well. So I went back real quick and just looked at what the times were. Ricochet and Logan Paul went just a little below like 17:40. So they went about 18 minutes. I don't think that was over.
No.
I think that's a fair amount of time. I think they deserve 15 regardless.
Okay.
Being who they were.
Brock and Cody was 17:30.
I think
that's about right.
Solid.
I think that's solid. I think Rousey and Shayna were 7 minutes and 30 seconds. I think that's perfect. I think perfect also for Drew and Gunther at 13:40.
Very much so, yep. Yeah.
And Seth and Finn went 18 minutes and 30 seconds. It's a title match.
Given the number of people involved, that's about right.
Yeah. Here's where we jump the shark, though. We have the women's three-way match, almost 21 minutes. And I felt like that match did not need 21 minutes. And then we go to our main event. That was 36 minutes long, which I felt, again,
that's going to be my criticism for the main event. That story could have been told in half the time.
Yep, absolutely. Agreed.
When wrestling's done well, there is a great balance between athletic events that happen and drama. Ricochet and Logan Paul was heavy on the athletic events.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last match, anytime you have the bloodline involved, you're a lot more on the personality than you are the events.
Well, I think that those are the two matches that kind of warrant that criticism. But also, too, I felt there was a lot of commercials. More than I've seen before in a PLE. There seemed like they went to commercial break a lot.
And a lot of signage.
True. They got to make up the money for giving away, you know, the pay-per-views now through
Peacock. There's new owners involved, so
yep.
They present it a little bit differently. And, you know, good or bad, that might be something that's going to help keep them going, is that add money.
And not to mention the fact that the entranceway was like 7,000 yards down the field. Like that ate up a bunch of time. Your entrances were easily could have been 5, 6, 7 minutes.
They needed to bring back, they're in Detroit, they need to bring back that little mini ring.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been sweet. That's got to be in the garage somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, we need celebrities driving them to the ring like
DDP drove Rhythm and Blues.
Yeah. Maybe we need Alice Cooper to go along with them.
There you go.
Well, he's coming out on tour recently, isn't he?
He's in town tonight.
Oh, he's in town tonight. Okay.
And school has been out for the summer for a while, though.
True.
It started at 5:45 this afternoon.
That makes sense.
If it's going to be a four-hour show, he's one of three.
Okay, because it's Def Leppard and Motley Crue as well, right. Correct? Okay, I forgot that was a package deal.
In the horseshoe.
And then he can get a good night's sleep and be up for his tea time at probably 6 or 7 in the morning. No, mm-hmm.
I hope he golfs with Larry Zbyszko, because that would be a dream tandem.
I think my dreams are a little bit different than yours, but that's okay, John.
All right, let's jump into it, gentlemen. Let's get going here. Let's talk about the very first match, Logan Paul versus Ricochet. I got to say real quickly, I like the Optimus Prime theme gear of Ricochet. I thought that was a nice tip of the hat to all of us toy marks out there. So, Joey, what do you say for this match? Give me your thoughts.
I think the match was everything we thought it would be when we sat down and talked about it, when we were kind of talking about how the match should go. Ricochet's still over with taking the L. He took the L with the brass knucks. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of athletic spots. There was a little bit of drama, though, when you combined Samantha Irvine in there with her having to say the name. And then the fact that he, after that match, he flew to Texas from Detroit, from one whole side of the country to the other, to be there for his brother's fight was pretty crazy to me. Logan Paul's a natural guy, as I keep saying it. He was meant to do this. I think if it was in any other, what's the word I'm looking for, if we're in a different universe, so to say, and he was brought up and trained to do this, he would be a much bigger star doing this. I gave it 4 body slams.
I gave it 4.5 body slams. This was my favorite match of the night. I thought this was the best match of the night. I felt that the finish was fantastic. Love that finish. My only gripe, I'm not a big fan of this double Spanish fly that they did on the floor. I know everybody thinks it's so great, but to me, I think that Spanish fly move, to me, that's a finisher from the top rope. Not just running at the guy and then...
The Spanish fly, to me, is a super indie move. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
Right. So that's kind of my gripe. That was my ding on it. Also, Ricochet trying to steal Logan Paul's finish. Look, the heel, to me, could steal your finish because he's the heel. But the face should not try to steal the heel's move, because why? Why would you do that? Just my little bit of psychology.
Well, I think that was kind of maybe they did like some nods to like The Rock, I think, and Stone Cold, I feel, too, through that. But that's what that's
one to the
that happened. That happened in their match. See, one was a face, one a heel, and both of them used their other finisher with the Rock and Stone
Ricochet
Cold.
Ricochet teased the people's elbow, and at one point, Logan Paul had a leg drop, and he called it Hogan Paul leg drop.
I forgot about that. Yeah, and see, I think that works for. I think that works for Logan Paul. I'm not I'm not so much that I feel that way. But nonetheless, 4.5, by far the best match of the night.
This guy is so good that he's not only entertaining, but in the middle of a match, he can taunt the crowd. He has a presence of mind to taunt the ring announcer. The only problem I have with the match, who gave him the brass knuckles?
Well, they did elaborate on that on Twitter. That legitimately is his business manager, the guy that does everything. I forget what his name is. John, maybe, or so. I don't remember. But I agree with you that they should have followed up on that, maybe. That would have been, we just got word from that first match that you saw, ladies and gentlemen. Logan Paul's on a plane to Texas with the man that cost or helped him win the match.
Right.
Johnny Bag of Donuts, or whatever his name is.
Pre-tape them on the airplane.
That would be a better one.
Have him reveal.
Yeah.
I do everything for my guy, Logan Paul.
There you go.
Now tune in to our OnlyFans. You watch me do something else. No?
I mean, they could have cut one of those Applebee ads with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, which, by the way, who in their right mind actually believes that those two eat a fucking Applebee's?
I bet they do.
Even on a cheat day, I say no. I say they're not going to Applebee's. Anyways, Rand, how many body slams?
I went right there with you. I got 4.
4? Well, we all picked Logan to win, so that's all correct prediction for all of us.
It did not hurt Ricochet at all.
No, it did not. Absolutely not. And like I said, this is why I said he's the Coco Beware. Because you could go in, he's still over, he can take the L, but still remain popular, and you could elevate the next guy.
WWE has a way of doing that, though, when they bring in celebrities with Bad Bunny and...
Oh, of course.
You know, I mean...
Stephen Amell?
Yeah, but with Bad Bunny and Punishment Martinez...
Oh, Damian
Priest. Now he's Mr. Money in the Bank. So you'd forget that he lost to Bad Bunny. So they have a way of doing that, so... I'm okay
but it has to be a quality performer that you bring in.
Right.
Right. Speaking of bringing people in, say, to Ford Field, how about Sheamus arriving in a monster truck? I didn't know that WWE had a monster truck.
I think it was part of the WCW buyout, which also, if you go back to Hogan and the Big Show had a monster truck.
On top of the Cobo Hall in Detroit.
Right downtown.
He threw him off the Cobo Hall.
Yeah. Man.
I don't know how you survived that.
I don't know. All right, let's get on to our next matchup. Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar.
Hey, we had some men slapping their meat together, didn't we, during this one? Meat slapping. Well, it ended how it should end. I mean, he wins the rubber match. It was a pretty solid match overall. Cody's putting on good stuff. And I think it's kind of, I think some people are hating on him just because he's doing this stuff in the WWE. If this was an AEW, everybody would be, oh my God, Cody Rhodes, da da da. It was a really good match. I liked how Brock shook hands at the end, just because, because we're not going to see him for the rest of the year. We'll probably see him come Rumble. But it just putting his stamp of approval on it, I think just helps Cody's character out that much more. I also gave this match 4 body slams.
I went a little bit higher. I went 4.5. And I think part of it was the respectful handshake at the end. Makes it even stronger. The fact that Cody kept surviving all those 10 counts. Brock tells him, stay out. It's only going to get worse. Babyface digs down deeper. Finally mounts a comeback. And he gets the...
When it comes crashing down, it hurts inside, is what you're saying, right?
You're a real American. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great match. I was surprised it went on second, though.
Well, I'm not, because how many times has Brock wanted to go on first or second and then move on, you know? Rand, I'm right in line with you guys. I gave it 4 body slams because, again, I thought the surprise at the end of the good sportsmanship was great. Let's not forget about somehow Lesnar tore his pants to hell and back.
True.
I thought that it drug a little bit with Brock telling him to stay down and throwing him out of the ring, but I can overlook that. I didn't understand why Cole had to give his 2 cents worth. Stay down, Cody. Who the hell are you? Shut up. I like the 3 crossroads. I think that was a good way to finish it off. Was 3, you know, 3 in a row, makes Brock look strong. A very good match. Fantastic. Joey, you and I both picked Cody to win. Rand picked Brock, so you and I have 2 predictions, correct?
Oh, no.
Obviously, we made some predictions about Bray Wyatt showing up, and that didn't happen. But let's talk for a minute. Where do you think Cody Rhodes goes from here? Like, we saw on Raw that he was part of the 6-man main event. What are your thoughts about the future of Cody Rhodes?
We don't see him going back after Roman.
Nope, because Roman apparently is banged up.
He just got a series done with Seth, so is he going to go after Gunther or...
Well, I think they've got plans for Gunther. I think, and it does not involve Cody Rhodes from what we saw last night on Raw. My question is, does he get involved in this storyline of the dissension between Finn Balor and Damian Priest? Does he get involved in that, or do they spin him off and he works a new program with somebody else?
We've heard rumors about his former buddy Randall K. Orton coming back. Could we have 2 members of Legacy go at it?
I would not be against that. I think that would be good. Joey, you don't look like
so
that.
So I think we're going to see him feud with Dom. I think we're going to kind of see that kind of... I wouldn't be surprised, because I think the tag team titles might be up with Zayn's, Bursitis, and Owens being injured. I wouldn't be surprised to see him part of a makeshift tag team when just to put a strap on him and then go after something singles come closer to Rumble and Mania.
Okay.
That's
Who could be his tag team partner?
It could be something as simple as Seth.
Mm-hmm. It could. And
but as we saw last night, he's going to be feuding with Nakamura. So I think that you could put him with anybody. I think he could handpick somebody just to get the let's say Cody dust at this point. As you say, get the Undertaker dust, get the Cody dust, and get somebody over.
What about Cody and LA Knight?
Well, I think that we're going to see here, and we'll get to this here in a few moments. Obviously, he's got momentum from the Battle Royal.
The
Slim Jim Battle Royal, excuse me. He's obviously going to be entering a program with The Miz, which I think is good. Because The Miz is another Coco Beware-like character. If you can beat him, he can take the loss, and you can still get the push from that.
Their interaction last night was awesome.
Yes, I agree as well.
I think Miz could have went. I think they both could have went a little bit harder in the paint on each other, though, too.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
They just didn't want to upset anybody.
Well, let's talk about the Battle Royal, because that's what's next on the list here. Obviously, LA Knight wins. I have to confess, and I know you guys might get a chuckle out of this, I was really nervous during the Battle Royal, especially when Omos showed up, because at that moment, I'm like, they're going to screw it up for LA Knight. they're going to screw it up. They're going to let Omos win, or he's going to cause one of these other schlubs to win, and LA Knight's going to get screwed up. I legitimately was nervous.
I agree with you on that, because I thought, well, if not him, why not have this is a great way to, because they keep pushing Bronson Reed. Why not push Bronson Reed to be the one to take him out? And it definitely didn't go that way.
No, I was pleasantly surprised that they did what we thought that they would do, and LA Knight wins. I gave this match 3 body slams just because it's the first battle royal in a very long time to make me go, ooh, sit on the edge of my seat.
Right. You
know, ooh, what's going to happen?
For just a basic generic battle royal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the fact that The Miz, LA Knight, and AJ Styles got separate entrances because most of them are already there. And then MVP came out and said, hey, I got one more for you.
Mm-hmm.
It made Omos look even bigger and more special. The fact that it took half dozen or so to get him out, I mean, that's back to the days of Andre.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way it worked. Knight took out Miz. We're going to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he also took out Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
Took out some big names, 2 former champs. And it made LA Knight look really good. I think we all agreed he was going to.
Yeah, yeah.
So it served its purpose. I gave it 3.5.
Joey?
I felt the same. Like, I don't think I can give a battle royal like 4 stars unless we get some super surprise entrant and some just something phenomenal happens and God comes into the ring. And I'm with John on the 3. I give it 3 body slams. But it basically because, like you said, it kept you. You were interested.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, why did that guy get thrown out so early? Like, I found myself thinking that, too. Like, there's a couple things I would have booked different. We haven't seen Rick Boogs forever, and all of a sudden he's in this.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, you've put over forever how strong he is. Maybe he should have been the one that got rid of Omos or something.
Or Bronson Reed.
One of those guys. He left too early. I think somebody else left way too early, too. I can't remember who.
AJ Styles.
It was kind of early, but there was something like in the first 3 that I felt was gone too early. But anyway.
Now, if you were booking this battle royal real quick, would you put God over?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
It's too because green. They don't have pay-per-views on Sunday anymore.
That's right.
Mm, okay.
It's his fault.
All right, let's move on to our next match. It is the match that will be contested under MMA rules, which, by the way, I don't know if they really explained them very well. I mean, oh, you can tap out, pass out, or knock out. Okay, well, that's great. What about hammer strikes? Because those are illegal in UFC. You know, the elbow coming down. And
right.
There's lots of rules that you just were like, forget about it. People don't care.
I would like to have seen a referee in a different uniform. MMA referee.
Yeah. They should have called Herb Dean and had him come over for a one night for a payoff.
I don't know who Herb Dean is.
Oh, okay. He was one of the OG referees for UFC. Mm. I don't think he's working anymore.
Is he related to Jimmy Dean?
He is not related to Jimmy Dean, nor Simon Dean.
Jimmy Dean's some good sausage.
What about Simon Dean?
That's counterproductive. The Simon system doesn't allow Jimmy Dean sausage.
What a paradox you have.
Yes. True.
Quack, quack.
True dad.
Shucky ducky.
All right. All right. This match, Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey, the fans were just not into it whatsoever. I felt like the action was very sloppy and awkward because it seemed to me like we're going to try to do some regular wrestling stuff, but we're going to throw in some MMA stuff, but we're not sure what we're going to do. I gave it 2 body slams because I did like the chain of one via like pass out, you know, and there was some heavy hits in there. I gave it a 2. It is what it is.
We figured this would be the low point of the night.
Yeah.
This is time to answer the door, pay the pizza boy. Yeah, it was 2.
I've seen that movie too, but they usually don't give him money.
Joey, how many do you say?
I'm a 2 as well. I actually had a little bit better expectations for it. I felt like Rhonda just called it in. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Like, you knew she's on her way out. Whatever, I'm just going to do this. And Like, if I'm the women backstage, that's what, if I'm Becky and Trish, that's what I'm mad about. I'm not mad about Logan Paul having a reality star and Ricochet on the card. I'm mad about that match. Mm-hmm. And because apparently they were mad. That's one of the things that they could cut that. And your friend Steve actually said something about that, too.
Yes, he did.
But yeah, I would rather them cut that because I had better expectations. I feel Ronda called it, and I gave it 2 just because of some of the hard hits and that Shayna went over. Damn, did she have a shiner last night.
Oh,
that wasn't makeup.
No, that was not. I pointed that out, too. And, the other injuries, I believe, are legit as well. So props to her for coming out to take on Zoe Stark. You know, it's interesting. Do you see them giving Shayna a push now?
At whose expense?
Good point. Very good point.
That's the rumor, too. They're going to build her back up into that type of role. Now, but is she going to... I don't see her beating Rhea. If anybody, no. It's Raquel.
Yes. Yes, I agree with
but,
you. Raquel's got to be the odds-on favorite.
They might just do like a slow build for her now that she's... Now she's the baddest woman on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using air quotes, by the way. I know we're not filming this. There, I did it again. But I see her getting a decent push. Obviously, there's going to be no championship, but I think she pushes towards a championship match.
Okay. So we're unanimous here in our picks that Shayna won, and we all gave it a 2. All right. Drew McIntyre taking on Gunther for the Intercontinental Champion.
General.
Plenty of heavy chops. You were happy, weren't you?
Oh, so much man meat slapping.
Do you realize that Gunther has not been pinned in 16 months?
Good.
That's awesome.
That's a great build.
Look, this match was fantastic. I know I poo-pooed it on the preview because I'm like, I don't want to see it again. But you know what? They rose to the occasion. I gave it 4 body slams. I thought it was hard-hitting. It told a great story. I liked how Gunther won. He won straight out with a unique combo that we had never seen from him before.
They took the time to make this is it actually made sense.
Yeah,
it made sense. You know, there's no dollar in the jar because we're not questioning it right now. It legitimately, boom, it did work. So I got to do this now. I got to do this now. Pin. Where if it was a Young Bucks match, they would have kicked out, and then they'd have hit super kicks, and then they would have kicked out, and then they'd hit cutters, and they would have cut it. It ended like it should. Hard hitting. It was very entertaining because of that. I am such a Gunther mark too, and it's just solidified even more for me.
I like Imperium as a whole.
And he did it without them out there.
Right.
This was a clean as clean
right.
can be.
Absolutely. And you know
Drew
what?
Drew fell the wrong way. Unique entity. I don't think I've ever seen anybody.
You know what?
Take
and,
that.
And again, great for McIntyre doing the favors to put him over. I'm happy that I was that wrong last week saying, oh, this is going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. I'm glad I'm wrong. I want to be proven wrong. I thought this match, solid number 2 for me. I still think Logan, Paul, and Ricochet was the best match on the card. This is a solid number 2.
What you just said, solid number 2. I've had a couple of those recently. What you just said there, though, about Drew McIntyre is, you know, we kind of like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see that. But you showed he's a team player.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. He's a former WWE champion, and he's doing those type of favors. And I think this shows you how much the Triple H seal approval on Gunther is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that, because if this was Vince, we wouldn't be getting this from Gunther.
No.
So
he would be a delivery pizza person, probably.
They would give him some weird gimmick. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I loved it. I'm with you. I'm like at 4 body slams. It was probably my second favorite of the night, too, because of that. And yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right.
I had it 4 as well.
Well, and let's take a look right here. As I mentioned last week, we are all unanimous here with the same particular selections. Joey and I have 5 correct predictions. Wow. Rand, you have 4.
That's normally pretty good.
That is. And something that...
So we saw last night the Chad Gable.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about this.
Now, is he the one that dethrones Gunther?
I say no, but I say this is a nice little tie over till they have somebody built.
Are we finally getting this transition out of the tag team into a Kurt Angle style build for Gable, because Gable is that good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's been amazing to watch his career since American Alpha and NXT to where, and I know Rand, because Rand is a huge NXT fan and could tell you.
Huge monster.
NXT history forever days. But to see him come up through the ranks, he's truly one of those guys, because he was just an amateur guy. I want to say just, but he was the amateur guy, and they made the star. And I think this feud could help take that to another level and carry him on just above mid-card, because he has it. He has the charisma. He has everything, all the tools you need in the ring. Mm-hmm. I'm going to really enjoy this feud, I think, between the two of them.
Keeping the Kurt Angle comparison, we knew he could wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he could do that. I'm overwhelmed at how much personality, like Kurt Angle, comes out of this guy. I mean, he was given an anchor as a tag team partner, and they're making the Alpha Academy work.
So then that makes me ask this question. What do you do with Otis or Otis? Do you keep him with Maxine and they just go about their own little mid-card feud?
I personally would like to see Gable and Maxine turn on Otis. Once Gable gets through this feud with Gunther, I would love to. Heel Gable is a lot like Heel Angle, and I loved Heel Angle. And I think that you can kind of make him goofy and you put the woman with him, because she didn't like him at the beginning, and you just tell that story through and then put.
Maybe have Otis cost him a match and have Gable and Maxine turn on Otis.
That would be a great way to get him out of the Intercontinental feud, to end that feud and spin him off that way. But then is that a step down? Because you're going from Gunther down to, you know, progressively, like we should be seeing him go next. Like Gable.
I think it would be better to see something like that. But then OT steps up and he wrestles Gunther, and then Gable makes him lose, and then they go into something like that. I think that might be.
Yeah,
but I guess it's more intentional where Otis is an accident.
Yeah, and like I said, I think putting the title's not going to happen on Gable.
Now,
no,
but I think somewhere down the line he's going to be a singles champion.
Absolutely, I give you that too. We're seeing that the seeds being sowed for a split with Alpha Academy. Well, gentlemen, before we move on and we talk about some of the big, big matches we have left on the card, I need to let everybody listening know about my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are your one-stop shop for all your comic book and toy-related needs, by the way. Right, Joey?
Oh, 100%. Marvel Legends for days in there. Star Wars Black Series, they have a bunch of those.
Yeah, so not only do they have toys, but they also have, of course, all of your comic book supplies. They've got, of course, single issues, graphic novels, toys, collections, hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of back issues. Like, for an example, I don't know if you two need any holes filled in your comic book collection.
I'm glad you followed it up with that.
Thank you. Anywho, I knew my audience in this very studio. Anywho, but if you had, maybe you have Spider-Man 275 you're missing. I bet Jeff and the fine folks down there at World's Greatest might have a copy of 275.
Which one's 275?
It's the one that I'm missing.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
pay attention to the script.
If you're in Central Ohio, you owe it to yourself to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can also check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. All right, gentlemen, let's get to the World Heavyweight Championship matchup, Seth versus Finn Balor. Can I just point something out real quick? And this is my own pet peeve. Why is Balor wearing high top tennis shoes?
Because what's his name that's made all these specialized custom shoes for everybody on the roster? He's probably just wearing it because of that. Plus, it kind of fits whatever they're doing within Judgment Day.
I'm going to sound like the old man here. Get some wrestling boots.
Get off my lawn.
Well, that'll be later. Anyways, there's nobody on the lawn. Oh. Anyways.
It's a figure of speech.
It's a figure of speech, correct. Judgment Day comes out. Damian Priest offers the case. Finn declines it. Seth attacks Judgment Day. Too many kickouts for me at the end. Stomp on the case. I think it's best describe this match was best described as something you would see at the end of WCW Nitro. It just seemed like there was just too much going on with the finish. Otherwise,
all I needed was like, all right, we gotta go. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely what we needed. I gave it 3 body slams because it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great either. The first part of that, first half of that match, fantastic. The last half, eh.
I'm looking at the two of these guys, Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, and I'm thinking, these guys aren't huge. They're not overly muscular. Would Vince have made this a main event 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, great.
Neither one
question.
Of these guys could have been champ because Vince, well documented, likes tall, muscular guys.
15 years ago, he made Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit champions. They're both 5'8, under 200 pounds.
That was an exception, wasn't it?
What Rand meant was 40 years ago. So.
Wasn't that long ago.
No, I'm just
kidding. I think these guys are both great workers. I liked it more than you did. I thought having the Money in the Bank briefcase backfire on Judgment Day was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, if they just tighten things up. Like I felt like there was
a few extra minutes.
This is one that went 18 minutes. You could have trimmed a couple of minutes off of you. Maybe just have Damian Priest come out. Don't have Mommy and Dirty Dom come because then that would take away some time of Seth interacting with them, which is really not necessary anyways. You want to make sure, because then it could have played up the whole, is he coming to cash in the briefcase? Is he coming? Like, that could have been hyped up a little bit more. So, right now, Joey has 5, and Rand, you have 5 correct predictions. I have 6. And by the way, real quickly, I don't know if we did this. I said 3 body slams for Seth and Finn.
I would say 3 as well for a lot of the same reasons. You're saying 4?
I liked a little bit more. I gave it 4.
Okay.
So who did I pick?
You selected on this one Finn Balor. Because that was going to lead into Damian Priest cashing in. So, well, let's talk about Seth Rollins because we kind of hinted at it already. He's got his feud now with Nakamura, as that was set up last night.
Kinshasa! Isn't that how you pronounce it?
I believe so, yes. Okay. Anyways, how does Walken pronounce it?
Hey, you know, he's going to hit him with the Kinshasa. I tried again. It's not good.
Sorry, I can't wait for Terry Funk to come and join us in the studio.
It's going to be a while. It's going to be a while, John.
Anyways, you know what? It's a holdover feud for Rollins, but it's something different. You know what I mean? And honestly, even though I know that Nakamura hinted at it early on in the night and his interview after his match with Reed, I totally forgot about it because they haven't done shit with Nakamura forever. So I'm like, okay, he's going to fill in on the tag match. Like, I never even put a second thought to it that he was going to turn heel on either Rhodes or on Seth. So it was surprising for me. It's something different. Clearly, he's not going to be the champ. I don't see that happening. So I'm excited to see what Nakamura and Seth Rollins do in the future.
Should be a lot of fun. Two guys that both have been champ.
Yeah.
Two guys with long hair.
Two guys that both won the Rumble? Did Seth win the Rumble?
I don't believe Seth Rollins has won the Royal Rumble. No.
Check research.
I'm sorry. I still haven't hired them back, Rand. Sorry.
Budget cuts.
Yeah. We're still restaffing after, the pandemic. Anywho.
And that temp didn't work out.
No. But we don't like to talk about that temp.
Showed up one day.
One day. And then was...
What's his name? Jeff Leppard?
It was! How do you know? All right, gentlemen. Let's move on to the triple threat for the WWE Women's Championship. Asuka versus Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair.
How can I want to give one set of this many body slams than another set? It was almost like it, because it was kind of two different matches with Io Sky coming out and doing that. Like, it's another one she talked about. They could have trimmed it up a little bit.
Oh, there was no reason for this to go almost 21 minutes.
But if they would have trimmed it up a little bit, it would have been a spectacular match.
Agreed.
If they would have done that. There was a lot of lulls, a lot of ups, and a lot of valleys, But a lot, I was going to say a lot of hills and a lot of valleys, but a lot of the valleys were very long there for a little bit. We were traveling before we went back up that mountain. I gave it 3 body slams until we got towards the end. I liked the finish, and then how it, I liked Bianca's telling the story with her leg and the sell job on that, and then going into the cash in. I really liked that, and then Bailey's hot. So that was the other factor. I liked seeing her on the screen. So other than that, that's why I gave it 3, but I liked the passing of the passing.
Normally when you have a triple threat match, somebody gets clobbered and falls out of the ring and 2 people go at it for a few minutes. We didn't have one person absent for big periods. This pretty much had all 3 at the same time.
Which to me is a problem with that match, but go ahead, carry on.
It made it different. Not necessarily better. Normally you have 3 different pairs, but this was all 3 at once. I liked it the same way. I gave it a 3. I thought it was clever how Asuka throws the mist, but doesn't get the win.
Okay. Well, how many body slams? You said 3? Okay. Okay. I didn't like this match. I think this was the worst match on the show. I think this was worse than Baszler and Rousey.
Not at all.
I gave it 2 body slams. Look, number one, Flair's weak chops bothered me. I didn't like the finish because I feel like the spraying of the mist should lead to the victory. And it didn't, so I didn't really dig that. I liked the cash-in. The cash-in was great. I'm glad that they did that, and Io Sky has now got the case. I just overall did not like this match at all. Charlotte's wardrobe malfunction, that was something odd that we didn't quite see before. But she looks different to me, or am I wrong? It looks like she's trimmed down some.
She's trimmed. She's had a reduction in the you-know-where area.
Okay.
I'm guaranteed that's what she does with her time off.
Recovers from surgeries.
And she's not lifting to look beefy. She's lifting to look lean.
Okay, because I was going to say, she looks incredibly different. In regards to, and maybe I haven't noticed it before when she's been on SmackDown or whatever the last couple of weeks, I just haven't maybe paid attention to it, but here it just was, to me, I was like, holy cow, she looks quite different. Yeah, so 2 body slams for this one on the triple threat.
Does Io Sky having a belt cause problems among damage control?
I believe it does. I believe that's the story they're going to go with, because it's an easy one. It's already pretty much self-made, if you will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Bailey's perfect with playing the jealousy role.
Mm-hmm. And now we saw Dakota Kai emerge from the crowd.
She's not ready to come back, though, yet.
Okay.
They kind of just did that for the
storyline. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And by the way, we all picked Asuka on that one. So 5, 5, and 6 for our predictions. All right. And this one, in fact, our predictions, I'm just going to go ahead and ruin them right now because we all said Roman Reigns. So I have 7 correct predictions. Rand and Joey are tied at 6. Let's talk about it. It's time for Tribal Combat. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Joey, what do you think?
We started the beginning of the cast with. I literally said that they could have cut this match in half and it would have been better. A lot of people were like against the whole Jimmy thing. The Jimmy thing turning at the end makes sense to an extent. But I feel like we might have kind of jumped the shark a little bit with that. Yeah, that term was used earlier too. It told a good story. The drama is always in that. We knew that Jay wasn't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt they missed the boat on introducing. Maybe they were going to introduce somebody else, and then they just did Jimmy as a last minute change. I gave this 3.5 body slams, the match total, just because it was drawn out. It was long. A lot of those spots were crazy, and they said Roman got injured early in the match. I don't know exactly where. I can't figure out what happened to him. I would have cut this match in half, and I probably gave it another half a body slam.
I mean, I would keep it at 36 minutes if we did something cinematic.
Yeah.
But this is just a regular no DQ match that has a flashy name on it. Joey, I gave it 3 body slams because I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was awful. It was just way too long, and at points, I was wondering if that hindered the, quote, intensity, end quote, of the participants, but now knowing that as I read today, much like you, that Roman Reigns was injured. That might explain why his performance was not top-notch. Yeah, I mean, three body slams. Where do they go from here, we'll talk about in a minute. Ran?
This was Roman Reigns' first one-on-one match since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Been in a lot of tag matches within the family. My favorite spot of the match was when Solo was holding up Jay and he moved.
Yeah.
And he took the spear from Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not happy with Roman. So maybe there's more tension there than there had been.
Well, I think that, you know, going forward, I think, you know, we know that Roman's taking time off no matter he got injured or not. That was released. That information was released that we knew that was going to happen. So, I mean, I'm not really big on the Jimmy swerve. I mean, why? You had Solo Sikoa there. He could have just interfered one final time in that match and led to the pinfall. But whatever. It'll be interesting to see where they go with these guys, if they do like a three-way feud with Solo, Jimmy, and Jay, with all of them, you know, fighting for the crumbs, quote-unquote, of the bloodline. I mean,
brother versus brother versus brother.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else they could do, because it doesn't make any sense to split them off and be like, oh, Jimmy's going to go feud with Jay, and Solo's going to feud with Johnny Gargano or whoever, you know?
Maybe we need to get Steve Harvey and make this family feud.
There you go.
Survey says, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with the bloodline. We'll have to keep an eye on that. I think some of our other thoughts about moving forward when you come to Seth and Nakamura and Cody Rhodes and Chad Gable, those are a little more crystal clear, but this, obviously, with Roman and Jay and Jimmy, is going to be a
really
little more
cloudy.
Yes, very much so.
Can we open up the phone lines and take some calls from the listening audience?
Hi, long-time listener, first-time caller.
I'm a first-time listener and long-time caller.
All right, gentlemen, let's start wrapping things up. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet if they want to follow you?
Tell you where you could find me this weekend.
Where can we find you this weekend?
I will be down at PowerCon.
There you go.
Down with the guys from Bobacon Toys and Collectibles, clear from Everett, Washington. They're coming into town for Bobacon. They're setting, or for PowerCon, Bobacon is. They're setting up. We're going to be hanging out down there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the convention center downtown Columbus. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, on Instagram at DJ Joey Blaze, and on Whatnot, where we sell our own toys and collectibles at Remix Collectibles.
Rand, how about you?
I'm tired just listening to all the places he's going to be. I'm probably going to be in the hammock most of the weekend. But on Twitter, you can find me at Rand Dittmar. That's RANDDITMAR.
Speaking of that, do you realize that Jeff Jarrett had a video game come out today?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Maybe that'd be something I have to look up and review on here.
What? You're kidding me. What's it called?
Oh, I can't forget, but they...
Choke on that, slap nuts.
No, I'm sure that's not it. He had a video game?
Yeah.
It's a wrestling video game.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really under the radar.
Scratch my back with a hacksaw.
If it's Butch Reed, that means there's cocaine involved.
Anyways... Allegedly.
Sorry, allegedly. My bad.
Sorry, OJ. Allegedly.
WrestleQuest. I'm sorry, it's not today. It's in 2 weeks it comes out.
Okay, WrestleQuest.
That's the name
of it. What platforms?
All platforms. Oh. And Dave Meltzer's in it. And a couple other wrestling, more advanced wrestling pundits, let's just say that.
Really? Okay.
Higher on the food chain.
Oh, okay. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, guys, thanks for stopping by.
Later.
And with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran, sitting down to chat with me about SummerSlam and some of the things that might be happening post-SummerSlam. So I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, you can let me know a couple of different ways. First of all, you could be old school and you could shoot me an email, John Orlando at pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at pvdmvp. And you can even drop me a line over at Instagram, Facebook, and even Threads, even though I'm not really active on Threads. But nonetheless, just look for at pvdcast. I know I'm going to have to make a decision to be a little more active on Threads. I don't know. I don't need another piece of social media to keep up with, but I digress. Let me tell you where you can find the PVDcast, say if you want to tell somebody about it. Obviously, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the easiest way to get each week's episode, but it's also available through all of those other podcasting outlets and apps. All you got to do is go to the search bar within your favorite app, type in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you listen through one of those outlets, I really need your help. I need you to make sure that you rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it's super important for those companies, those outlets, those apps to know that you're listening. So if you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe, of course, so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But you can also hear my great show through a Facebook broadcast that I like to do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, obviously through the Facebook page at PVDcast. And last but certainly not least, you can hear this great podcast through CROC Radio, Croc Radio, out of Kimberley, British Columbia. It's a great internet radio station that is through all those various different internet directories you can find CROC. And you can listen to the PVDcast as well as all the other great shows on Croc Radio. So with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out this episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.